that's not important. County exec, question for you.
Yes.
Did we or do we have a policy or procedure that we could bring in private haulers and or construction people for help if needed? Like in snowstorms, we get out, you know, we bring in private haulers and snow removal people.
Sure.
Do you think for floods also?
We could bring in private contractors, and we could use our own dump trucks too. So we don't normally collect trash and debris. We certainly collect trees down and other things like that. And occasionally we do pick up trash and debris along the road because
it's there.
It's there, and we have to pick it up. So, but we have not. I have not had a request from anybody asking us to pick up flood debris.
And where would that request be made to? Just call the county at the.
They could just call my office or send me an email if somebody wanted to make that request. I think we could certainly consider that, but it really hasn't been something I've been asked to do at this point. It's obviously easier for the city of Frederick because they do their own trash collection, so they'll just pick up more than they usually pick up, and that's a concentrated area of water damage. So,
Very good. 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. Your phone calls can be taken, and the county exec will answer. Like that call right there, Frank.
So,
and that one behind it, Frank.
And I do want to ask Madam Executive about the last council meeting, because you did mention the funding for the Detox Center and the passing of the budget. And the passing of the budget, though, was not unanimous. It was a 4-3 vote. Will we ever settle this argument of whether there's a tax increase in Frederick County or not?
We've probably not. The tax rates have remained the same all 4 years of my term. We've held the line on taxes, and certainly assessments have gone up. So some people will see a larger bill because of the assessments going up. But, of course, that means their home value has gone up, so that's added to their personal prosperity as well. And we always add new businesses and new properties to the county, which is part of that, too. So we do have a lot of things we're trying to accomplish in the county, and I think we had a very balanced approach to it, and I'm pleased that the budget passed. There's at least two people on the council who pretty much vote against everything that I want to do, whether it needs to be voted against or not. And so I always expect some people to vote against the budget.
And were the questions, the council, they have time, as I saw it, they're given an opportunity to ask questions about the budget the entire time, right, through the entire process.
Yes.
So I
offer to meet with each of the council members early in the process in January and February to see what their priorities are, which can be both cuts and adds. And what do they want the budget to accomplish for the people of our community? Most of the council members take advantage of that. Five of them did this year. Two of them did not. And I do consider the input that they have and the requests that they make to me. And so, and I have fun to some of them too. So I think that's a useful discussion to have. We present the capital budget in about the middle of March. So they get to see that a little bit early. And we certainly present to them in March all of the budget appeals and all the requests that we have from the various agencies in the county government so that they have a good understanding of that. And they started to meet with division directors about their needs prior to the introduction of the budget, which this year happened on April 12th. Then they had about 3 days worth of meetings with various division directors where they could ask any questions. And certainly the budget office spent a lot of time collecting information and trying to answer questions for the council. And they had a couple workshops where they made motions to both cut and add to the budget. And for the most part, those did not pass. And then they made a final decision on the budget.
All right, let's take some phone calls. Let's go to the phones at 301-694-9363, 301-694-9363. Charlie, you're up. What say you, Charlie?
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Ken, have you toured the Middletown Valley in the last couple of days?
I've toured part of the Middletown Valley. Where were
you? What part?
I've toured down by Jefferson and Burkittsville.
I was going to say, because that whole area is torn up, and I don't think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you all have heavy bulldozers and heavy track loaders, not rubber tar loaders, but track loaders, to get in and do the job to fix this type of work.
We may have to use some outside contractors to help do this work, but I will say I did get a report today from Public Works, and they do have fewer than 10 roads now that are closed.
But at what point do you make that decision? You know, not to decide is to decide. And this is when politicians need to step up to the plate. And you have three types of leadership. You either lead, you follow, or you block the road. And at this point, I don't see the county, I don't see you leading, nor do I see you following.
Well, Charlie, what's
I'm very concerned about that.
What section of the county?
Yeah, we're down to having seven roads that are still left to be prepared.
I'm down. You know, as you know, I live off 340 down at on Brentland Road. Brentland Road is passable, but there's a lot of. As I drove around, I took a tour yesterday just to see for myself. There's a lot of roads you couldn't get fire trucks down, and you're putting people's I guess their life and their property online. This is not government supposed to step up to the plate at this point and take the leadership role.
I get regular reports from Public Works, and we're doing everything we can to open every road. And we did have 21 roads closed, and now we're down to seven. So we've made very good progress there. And some of the roads that are closed, we have opened lanes for emergency vehicles so that emergency vehicles can get through and don't have to take a longer route to get where they need to go. Some roads, like Poffenberger Road, is now open to the public, but there's Jersey barriers in place where there's slope failure, and that will take a little bit longer to repair. So we have some roads that we've temporarily repaired, and then we'll come back and do a more permanent repair. But for the most part, we've opened... You know, we had 21 roads closed, and now we have seven closed. So we've opened 14 of those roads. So within a week. So I think we've done pretty well on that. So if you would like to send me an email of roads that you think need attention that have not had them, we'll get somebody out there right away.
Dan, that goes back to my point. Lead, follow, but don't block the road. And I'm saying you need to take a leadership position instead of me sitting out here that just lives out there, sending you an email. Go out and tour them for yourself and see if you can, and ask what I'd take along with me is take your fire chief along and say, can you get fire trucks down this road? And if not, bring in people. You've got scads of road contractors. You've got $1 million asset sitting on the board with you that I think if you went to Kirby DeLauder and said, Kirby, what do you think? How can we accomplish this? He'd probably tell you to bring in a Brad Wassler, a Pleasance Construction, Brunswick Excavating, get them in there and get these roads back open. Then you can, and you got plenty of blacktop plants in this county, then you can come back in and work on the slopes on the side. But you don't have the equipment, and you correct me if I'm wrong, if you all have got heavy-duty track loaders and heavy-duty bulldozers to go down into these farmers' fields and get all this debris out, I would be surprised if you have that kind of equipment.
Well, I think we've done a good job of repairing the roads. I'm sorry you disagree. And we do have contracts with that already exist with people who do road paving and heavy equipment. So we are already prepared to do that. And we have made good progress on these roads. And we do have county employees in our road department who do an outstanding job in highway operations and are on top of this very thing.
Very good. Thank you, Charlie, for your call. 301-694-9363. What do we have?
Let me ask you,
go ahead, Frank,
Madam Exec, about you like something else at the last
Madam
meeting.
Exec. That sounds like royalty. Let's just say County Exec. It's Madam Exec. That sounds too British, Frank. You've got this wedding in your head.
Well, it was just this past weekend.
I heard. Grammy Logan.
Comcast. I think there's still some misunderstanding about the county and its relationship with Comcast as the agreement was approved. But this does not necessarily mean that no other cable company can move into the county or
no.
That we endorse everything they do. Or?
I'm very pleased that you brought that subject up. County governments and municipalities can only have limited authority with cable providers. And we also can only negotiate for TV, not for internet and phone. Now, to the extent that they're coupled, you're effectively doing internet and phone, but we can really only do television by law. And so we don't regulate it. We can't set the prices that they can charge consumers or the number of channels they have or the packages they sell. That's all private business, and they're going to organize that by what they can sell to consumers. And we have absolutely no role in that whatsoever. So primarily, we're trying to exchange the use of county right-of-ways for cable in exchange for county government, our school systems and county government, having access to some TV channels and having good rates for the county. So we probably save a good $1 million in our own cable fees through this contract, which of course then saves taxpayers. That's true for our schools as well. And so it is a very technical, it's very technical. So we actually hire an outside consultant to do the negotiations. So for the first year, they really go out and do a customer survey, find out what people want. And so they negotiate this for us along primarily with our IT staff because and a lawyer, because it is pretty complicated to do. And so I think we got as good a deal as we could get. One of my goals was to try to mandate or require more service in rural areas of the county. So we went from a density of 25 houses a mile to 20. I had hoped we could get to 15.
That would be nice.
And we also, if 11 people along a road will agree to purchase cable for 2 years, they will extend that cable into that area. And that is by separate letter agreement, and that has been done in Carroll County, which is similarly has rural areas like Frederick County, and that has worked there. And so we got good rates for the county for our school systems, and we did expand into rural areas.
So I think that's an important part. And is so, you're talking about reduced rates when you say us, and we, you're talking about for county government.
For county government, right. But not for individual packages.
Right.
Now, our municipalities are separate. So the city of Frederick and Walkersville and all the municipalities have their own agreements. A lot of them charge a fee that you'll see on your bill, and that money goes to your municipalities. County does not assess a fee on the bill. I did not want to do that.
Are there bidders that come in, Jan, to offer their cable service? I mean, did you?
No, this isn't about bidding. This is about just saying you can use our right of way if you do these things for us. Now, this is non-exclusive, so somebody else, Verizon, Fios, or somebody else could come in here if they wanted to. It is a big capital investment to put fiber out. And, of course, Comcast purchased what was GS Communications and Adelphia. And so there's decades of investment that were done by prior companies that we didn't have a franchise agreement with necessarily. I think this is the second one we have. And so we try to get benefit for the citizens and for county government, which then in turn is a benefit for the citizens.
We'll talk more.
Right, Frank? More anything going on in the county?
Or the budget. The budget has passed, and that would be, when's that going? July 1st, obviously.
July 1st. I think the other highlight to point out about the budget is that we are dedicating 1.5% of the existing recordation tax, again, no tax increase, towards affordable housing. We certainly want as our more people to be able to afford to live here if they work here. And so I think that's a step in the right direction, too.
That sounds like a reasonable thing to say. Work here, stay here, be here, spend taxes here. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep. And I know Frank wanted to bring up a little bit about a letter that Frederick County and Montgomery County sent jointly to the governor and the secretary of transportation, whose
yes.
name is Pete Ron.
Let me give a little bit of a background on this. This has to do with Governor Hogan's proposal to add toll lanes to I-270, 495 too, but I guess you wouldn't as concerned about that. In a letter to the governor, the transportation secretary, both executives and county council presidents expressed concern that a study of the project does not include the northern portion of I-270 that leads into Frederick County. Montgomery County may be more concerned about transit, but according to what I'm hearing, leaders, which would include you, Madam Executive, say if nothing changes to the northern part of I-270, congestion will only get worse.
Yes. As you know, some many months ago, the governor announced that he was going to put out bids for a private-public partnership to build express toll lanes on 270 all the way from Frederick down to the Beltway, around the Beltway, also on the GW Parkway. But the scope of the project has been, the traffic relief plan, as they call it, has been narrowed to the Capitol Beltway up to where I think it's 380 Sam Eig Road.
Right.
And so it doesn't include the northern part of Montgomery County or any portion of the roadway in Montgomery County. And so we sent a letter from myself, Ike Leggett, who's the county executive of Montgomery County, and both presidents of their respective councils to suggest that we wanted them to include the entire length of I-270 in any kind of traffic congestion plan they put forward, and that we suggest that in addition to lanes, they talk about expanding transit elements. I think everything we do has to include transit and other multimodal aspects.
Do you think this is going to be a tough sell as far as being in different political party camps and the part of the state we're in, et cetera? Or?
Well, this county certainly has voted for the governor, and I think he certainly knows that. And we've had a number of other road improvements funded by this administration. You know, we have the interchange at Maryland 85 and I-270 that's beginning right now. We've had some significant improvements to 180 near 340, where and some additional improvements coming there. So, and we're very pleased to have some of those traffic improvements. But we do really need a whole plan for I-270 and all the way through 15 up to Big Ford Road. The county and the city's top priority is widening U.S. 15 through the city of Frederick.
Amen.
And that's had some design and preliminary engineering work done, but it has not been funded for construction. So that really is the county's number one plan. And if this private public partnership for express toll lanes goes through and we don't cure 15 through the city of Frederick, we'll just kind of move the bottleneck, and that'll be a problem too. So it really all needs to be looked at together. 270 up through the city.
How long is 15, 270, 15, how long has that been on the drawing table?
Oh, since about 1990.
Yeah, 25 years, I remember.
Mm-hmm. And so the whole express toll lane idea has its limitations. I mean, I've actually heard a fair amount of negative feedback to it. I mean, certainly I've heard positive as well. But whatever the tolls are is what's going to really drive whether it's a popular option or not. We've certainly seen very high tolls in Northern Virginia.